This was one of the questions the rating agencies asked of us, how we were prepared if there was another downturn, and the response was both 14 and 15 planned reversions or reductions if necessary. And I do know that this is part of what the rating agencies and investors see as Maryland's strength in terms of controlling its costs. It's very difficult. No one liked this. I know I heard the governor say almost 8 years ago, 7 years ago, that he was glad to come from the city and not have to spend his time cutting budgets any longer. The comptroller and I were on the House Appropriations Committee for, 25 years, too much budget cutting, and it's very difficult. On the other hand, to do it now at the beginning of the fiscal year, I think is quite prudent. I will say, as you know, Madam Secretary, there's one part that causes me considerable concern, and that is the cut to the Father Joseph Schellinger formula, the aid to independent colleges. I think that supporting those colleges has been a strength in Maryland, strength both of strengthening the economy and higher education. And this is a significant cut, a cut only slightly less than the cut that was recommended about 5 months ago and not adopted at that time. And I would hope, if things improve, that we can look at continuing our progress to fully funding the formula as it was written in the law. And if things don't improve, that we will understand that we've taken a significant cut already from those institutions in that program and not go back again. I'm pleased that the FDE funding is slightly above last year's, but it still is a significant cut, and the bottom line lower than it was several years ago, as is true for many folks.
I understand your concern.
Okay. Mr. Comptroller?
Thank you, Governor. And I want to thank you, Secretary Foster, for meeting with me on these fiscal year 2015 cuts that are obviously before the board today. As the Treasurer mentioned, nobody wants to be in the position of cutting department budgets in a fiscal year, particularly one that's only 2 days old. But, Madam Secretary, I really believe that you're being pragmatic and getting out in front of the situation, rather than simply hoping that things will get better and then being forced to take even more radical, difficult actions if and when they don't. So good for you. Hats off to you. Hats off to the governor for taking a step. This action is correct in the light of our current economic conditions. I would like to make one point, though, which is not to you, Madam Secretary, but to all of us, particularly now that the primaries are over. I think it's time to take the political spin about Maryland's fiscal and economic environment and just pack it away with all the campaign signs that are being picked up. Park that political fiscal spin also. Because here are the facts, backed up by cold, hard numbers. The nation's economy is literally stagnant now or contracting. And so is that of the state of Maryland. First quarter of 2014, the United States experienced 2.9% contraction in economic activity, which was the worst quarterly performance since the first quarter of 2009, when we were in the absolute teeth of the Great Recession, comparable in many economists' mind to aspects of the Great Depression. So let me repeat, first quarter of 2014, not a 2.9% growth, a minus 2.9%. And while we always like to think that Maryland is somehow immune from national economic trends, the fact is, during that same time, our state's average wages grew by only 0.4%. That's 0.4. This, at a time when gas prices are soaring to their highest levels in 6 years, food prices are surging, all due to a variety of factors. In every, just summarize it, I guess, from a family's perspective, everything that we hope would be going up is either flat or going down. And everything that should be flat or going down is going up. So the arrows in the economy are all pointing in the wrong direction. When that happens, families, Maryland and other states, don't spend, small businesses don't achieve profits, and our consumer-powered economy, particularly here in Maryland, suffers deeply. And we're seeing the effects in the revenue numbers. Sales and use tax receipts are up by just 1.1% in that time period, which is below the rate of inflation and well below the 5% growth that we would normally see in a typical pattern of economic recovery. And year-to-date withholding receipts are coming in just 2.1% over last year. And again, for context, that number should really be up around 5.5% in an economy that is recovering. So I would really urge my friends and my colleagues in this political business, as I'll describe it, from both parties, to cut out the political rhetoric. To those who would benefit from a rosier outlook on the national and state economy, stop pretending that we've made it through the thicket, because we just haven't. And to those who would benefit from saying that the sky is falling in Maryland, blame it all on the other political party, cut it out. Because what we're dealing with is a statewide reflection of a national problem. Having visited recently almost every corner of the state of Maryland, I would suggest that our citizens don't want to hear the spin anymore, and they aren't falling for it. What they do want to hear, honestly, is a sensible approach to the issue in front of us. They want a sense of reassurance that we get it, that we're going to do exactly what they've had to do, which is tighten our belts, cut out those things that we don't need, so that we can actually afford those priorities that we do need and that we do cherish. Better schools, more police officers on the street, nutritious meals for children who would otherwise go to bed, go to school hungry. They want to know that we're going to hold the line on public policies that, however well-intentioned, will actually take even more money out of the pockets of consumers who are already struggling to put gas in the car and food on the table. And they want to know that we have a game plan to build an economy on the strength and innovation of the private sector and not simply wait for government spending to lift us out of the doldrums. If there's anything I want to be known for in my 8 years as comptroller, it is that sentence. As far as what the public wants to know, they want to know that we have a plan to build an economy on the strength and innovation of the private sector and not simply wait for government spending to bring us out of our economic doldrums. That we recognize that money will always go where it's wanted, and that we're prepared to take those steps that are necessary to make Maryland a more desirable place to invest hard-earned capital. So I support the actions today that are being taken. They are a sensible first step, with a note of caution that even more challenges, and a lot of hard work lie ahead of us. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Mr. Comptroller. Comptroller moves approval, second by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, the ayes have it. Let me say a word, if I may. I certainly want to thank the Comptroller for his observations about the very serious and ongoing work that we have to do in our national economy in order to restore consumer confidence, in order to restore upward economic mobility for hardworking people so that when they work harder, they're assured that they can provide a better life for their families. All of that, of course, is true, and we have work to do. This is the first 15-year period of time when we've actually seen wages either stagnate or go down for the vast majority of people rather than go up. So we have a lot of work to do to rebuild an economy with a human purpose. And we will do that so long as we make decisions based on what is best to strengthen and grow our middle class. There are actions we know that work. Raising the minimum wage is one of them. Raising the earned income tax credit is another. And then there are a host of investments that are essential for creating an opportunity economy. And they are investments that we can only make together to educate our children at higher and better levels, to make college more affordable and more attainable for more people, to improve, to accelerate our leadership and competitiveness and competitive edge by accelerating our innovation curve in emerging new industries, green technology, life science, biotech, space, aerospace, advanced manufacturing. All areas where Maryland is a leader and excels, actually. And also the important work of rebuilding our own infrastructure. Work that we've undertaken even in the middle of a recession when many states were trying to simply cut their way to prosperity. Instead, we doubled our investment in water and wastewater infrastructure. We doubled our, we have increased our investment, nearly doubled, I think, in school construction for modern classrooms. So, pursuant to the recommendations of the COP Commission and beyond. We have also, along with a handful of other states, modernized our revenues when it comes to rebuilding our bridges and tunnels and mass transit so that we don't have the sort of appalling tragedy of a bridge collapsing in the middle of a river because we lack the will to keep our infrastructure under repair. And we have also, thanks to help from our congressional delegation and the president, expanded a cyber infrastructure the likes of which no other state can boast. Its connectivity to our institutions of higher learning, our hospitals throughout our state, connecting all 24 of our jurisdictions to robust broadband. The result of all of that is that we are coming through this recession faster than many other states. We have now recovered 100% of the jobs we lost in the recession, though we still have more work to do because, of course, our population continues to grow. But since the recessionary low, this is according to the Wall Street Journal, Maryland has created jobs at the second fastest rate of any state in our region. That's faster than Virginia. That's faster than Pennsylvania, though we wish our neighbors well, and we know we proceed as a people not on the weakness, but on the strength of our neighbors. While our unemployment is still too high, the last time Maryland's unemployment rate was 5.5% or lower was way back in October 2008, when it was 5.1%. And when it comes to fiscal responsibility, we build upon a tradition of fiscal responsibility, a culture of fiscal responsibility in our state. It's not always easy. It's not always popular. Individual decisions, nobody stands up and applauds. But Moody's, Fitch, Standard & Poor's have all maintained Maryland's, well, I should say the people of Maryland have maintained in the eyes of these bond raters and their evaluations a AAA bond rating all through this recession. There's only seven states, folks, that hung on and defended through tough decisions, like not unlike the ones we've just made here, although smaller in scale than many of the other cuts we've made at this board. There are only seven states that maintained a AAA bond rating all through this recession. Similarly, there was a very, very small number of states that increased education funding, let alone increased education funding to record numbers.
and no other state in the United States, during the recession or prior to the recession, held the title of Best Public Schools in America for 5 years in a row. In fact, the publishers of that evaluation retired the trophy when we won it a 6 year in a row, even though if you total up the points, we won it in that way. You know, there's another problem that we confront as a country that affects business confidence and consumer confidence. It's what Tom Friedman of Bethesda calls a stable rule of law, an expectation that the rules will remain the rules for the foreseeable future. And when our primary representative institution, the House of Representatives, starts acting in a very unrepresentative manner and shuts down our federal government for no other reason other than pique and spite, that hurts consumer confidence, and that especially sends a ripple throughout this mid-Atlantic region. Having said that, I mean, if you look at it, it sent a ripple not only through our region, it really sent it through the whole country. I mean, you can't waltz around the adverse impact that has on our national psyche. And if 75% of your economy is consumer confidence, when your representative institution of your nation shuts down your government, that puts a crimp in home buying, car buying, and all sorts of other things. These cuts, I think, now bring to a total, Ms. Watson, over $9.5 billion in the life of this administration, and very often with the courageous and principled votes of the members of this Board of Public Works, the Comptroller and the Treasurer. And I will say that for all of our policy disagreements, we have all been able to find common ground to maintain Maryland's AAA bond rating and hold our state in better fiscal health, certainly than other states in the nation. I mean, right now, our neighbors in New Jersey face a $2 billion gap, New York, $800 million. Pennsylvania, $608 million. North Carolina, $445 million. Other states, I won't read the list. I think you sent it out already. Look, we still have work to do. But the truth of the matter is also that with the second fastest rate of job creation in our region since the recessionary low, with the highest median income in the country, and with having driven unemployment down to levels we have not achieved since 2008, there is a lot that is going right in our state, and of course, still a lot of work to do. And so in that spirit, I agree with the comptroller that we should have an honest conversation and evaluate what we're doing well and what we still have yet to achieve, and areas where we can improve. But when it comes to that truth that our parents and grandparents understood, that there are some investments that we have to make for ourselves if we expect to give our children a better future, the people of our state have done it, are doing it, to educate, to innovate, to rebuild our infrastructure. And you're seeing the results in an economy that is performing better than all but Delaware in our region. And so with that, we move on now to the University System of Maryland.